Hello, everyone. I want to thank you for coming here this afternoon. My name is Richard Fricks. I'm a program manager on the Scenario Adoption team. And with me today, I have Roger Wood and Peter Frentzen from Adobe. And we're going to be talking with you about the options you have in Windows 8 for analytics. To start with, I want you to know that analytics has really proven to be a very important part of an application in today's marketplace. That used to not be the case. You know, analytics is in terms of computer software, kind of a really new concept, but it's really gained a lot of popularity, and it's very important that we understand how analytics can be used. And it's not just numbers, but we want to make sure that we provide you with information that can help you make customer-focused data-driven decisions so that they really can have the most impact in making a great piece of software that has the right capabilities that your consumers of your software need, and also, of course, it makes the most benefit for your business. So to do that, we're going to start by talking about the analytics that are provided for you through the Windows Store. When you upload you create your store account and you upload your application, the Windows Store is going to start collecting data on your application. And again, I don't like to look at it just from the standpoint of raw, you know, just numbers, because really analytics is about being able to answer questions to help you. So I wanted to talk about the four questions that we're going to be looking at from a Windows Store standpoint and how we try to help you answer those questions. Number one is just, who's your customer base? You know, where are they coming from, and who they are they? It's very important to understand as much as we can about the customers that are using your software. And number two, what do they think about the software they're using? Do they like it? Do they dislike it? So it's really important to be able to understand their satisfaction level with what you've provided them with. Thirdly, how reliable is your app? I mean, you've got it up there, maybe see, wow, it's been downloaded 5,000 times or 10,000 times or 100,000 times. How is it running? Is it working for people? Is it crashing? You know, how is that application behaving? And then finally, we've got our app in the marketplace. It's going great. We provide some statistics in the Windows Store that can help you find some new opportunities that maybe you can leverage to go in a direction that maybe you hadn't considered. And then I'll conclude the topic on the analytics provided by the store by passing over to Roger and Peter, and they're going to talk about the analytic options that Adobe provides that can be integrated into your Windows 8 store application. So two words I want to mention here. Number one is analytics, and number two is telemetry. And again, this is in the context of the Windows Store environment. And analytics refers to the data that the store collects, and it has to do with how users are interacting with your software in the store. So those type of analytics, it's like how many people have downloaded your app, how many people have visited your page in the Windows Store. So it's really store-collected analytics. We also have this concept of telemetry. And telemetry refers to the data that we collect from your application when it's running on the client's machine. So it's important to distinguish between those two, because the Windows Store analytic data that we're tracking is going to happen no matter what. But the telemetry is something you have to make sure is enabled from your profile page for your account. And so as you can see here, there is a checkbox there. And when you turn that on, that starts the collection of telemetry. So once you do turn that on, it can be several days before you might be able to see some of that data being collected, but it will start. Another point to mention is that we only collect telemetry data from customers who have opted into what we call our customer experience improvement program. So as part of the installation, if a customer says, no, I don't want to provide any information to outside sources, then you'll still get the analytic data that we collect, but none of the telemetry data will be provided. So the questions that I started out with that I wanted to make sure that we cover so you can see how to use. When you go to the Windows Store analytics section, you'll see reports dealing with adoptions, ratings, quality, and store trends. And this is what they look like based on those questions that we have. The adoption reports, that's what you look at when you want to better understand your customer base. The ratings, those are going to help you understand what the customer satisfaction level is with your software. And the quality reports are going to help you look at how reliable is your application, and in those areas where it's not reliable, to help pinpoint what those problems are so you know what you need to address. And then in the store trends section is where you can go to try to find some new opportunities. So let's just jump right in and start looking at these. So first we're going to start with the adoption reports, which help us understand how to know your customers. And this is both actual customers in your software and potential customers, people that are coming to your site that potentially will become your customers. So there's five different areas we're going to look at. Conversions, and these are customers that come to your page, and is it compelling enough to get them to actually download your app? Refers, how are customers finding your app? Where are they coming from? And then downloads. How many people are downloading my app, and who are they? What are the demographics of these people? And then in-app purchases. If you have in-app purchases in your apps, how are they working? And then your usage. Are your customers, you know how many people downloaded? Are they actually running and using your app? So let's start at the top with the adoption reports with conversions. So there's three stages that customers go through, generally speaking, with an application. Number one is they find your app in the app store and they view it and they read the description of it. And that's what gets tracked in that top orange bar going across. That's the number of page views you have. So in the example I have up here, this application has had 58,000 people visit and view that page. And then the second step that a customer would go through is downloading the application. And so that's track second, and you can see there in this example, 26,000 people downloaded the app. And then, of course, we have the final stage of actually purchasing the app. And the reason that can be separate is because some apps have a trial version that can be downloaded for free. Some require purchase up front. And so we track that as well. So in this example, this application has a trial version. And so you can see from that how many people purchased the app at download time, and then how many purchased the application after the trial. So those are very helpful information to see how customers are viewing your app. So if you see a lot of people viewing your page, but you see very few actually doing the download, you know, one of the things you need to ask yourself is, what is that description like that we've put for our app? Is it compelling enough to actually get people to download it? Because we seem to be drawing a lot of people to our page, but for some reason they're not downloading it. So what can we do? So, and we'll talk about some things there that can be helpful to help drive those downloads. So for the customers that are coming to your page, where are they coming from? And you'll see that from the referrers graph, and it's a chart, it's a pie chart. We show the top five locations where customers have been directed to your page. Now, we do not include customers that find your application from within the Windows Store itself. So someone is in the Windows Store and they find your app. We don't track that here. We track these referrals from outside sources. And we track the top five. And then the sixth category is other, where we just track every place else. So it's helpful to look here, because if you are paying marketing dollars to advertise your app on perhaps through different search engines, or through other vehicles, this can help you look and see how effective those marketing dollars are working. You might find that you expected a lot more response from search engines and you're not getting much response, so maybe you want to focus in on your SEO and increase your search engine optimizations to increase the number of customers that you're getting through that mechanism. So it's really helpful to use this to see where your customers are coming from. And then our download chart. Now, this shows downloads over time. It's there's two lines that you're going to see, your own line, which is the blue line, and then there's an orange line, and this orange line shows the average number of downloads of the top five apps that are in the same category, the same subcategory as your app. So this is really nice for you to be able to compare, hey, how is my app comparing to the top five apps in this same category? So it kind of just gives you a check to see how you're mapping out there. Now, the other thing that you can see here is there is a this is showing for the time period of March, and on the 18th of March above there you see a line going up in a gray box with an 8 in it. Those gray boxes, that's showing version updates that you've done. So as you do updates, those updates will show on these graphs so you can correlate the different data that we collect with the updates that you've provided. Now, the nice thing about downloads is that we provide you to do additional filtering to help you understand who are downloading your software. So the filters that you can bring up allow you to do several things. So the first filter that we have set up there across the top, it lets you specify the time period, whether you want to see it for 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, or for an entire year. And then it also allows you to select the country slash region that you want to see downloads for. So you can compare different regions and see which ones you're getting the most downloads from. You can also specify the age so that you can see, what is the age bracket that you're attracting the most from. And that's very helpful. You could be surprised that, wow, we're targeting this market and we see that it's very low. So what can we do to make sure we're reaching out to that target market? And then the same thing with gender. You can specify the gender as well. So you can look at these download reports in that type of context. And so when you do that, you'll see charts here. For the example, the one that I've shown here, you can see that the male gender is the predominant one in the 22 through 40 age group. And then looking over at the left, you can see by country and region, you get an idea of what country or which region my downloads are coming from. And then we provide a synopsis of what you indicated there that'll tell you, too, just how your app is doing. So, for example, given this way the filter is set up here, the most active group are males between the ages of 22 and 40. So it's great to go in and use these filters to look at who's actually downloading your applications. Now, the other area in our adoption report allows you to see in-app purchases that are taking a place. And in-app purchases, that provides you some detailed information about the purchases that are being made inside your app. If you're not familiar with in-app purchases, it is a programming feature that you can build into your app where you can specify functionality that you don't want the user to be able to use unless they've purchased the rights to do that. And so you specify those in-app purchases in the App Store itself, and you create IDs for them, and then in your application, you can look up that value to see if the customer has purchased it or not. So in your code, it's a very straightforward, if statement. If they've purchased this, then go ahead and let this code execute. And of course, that code would represent the functionality you've provided. And if that flag is not true, then you know not to let that code execute. So it's easy to set up in-app purchases inside your application. And the nice thing about it is, earlier when we looked at the download section, we saw the number of people that were viewing our page compared to the number of downloads. One of the things you can ask yourself if you're charging for your app is the reason people aren't downloading, is it because I'm charging too much money? And in-app purchases can help solve that problem because you can take some of the functionality that's not core to your application and charge for that separately and then in effect potentially reduce the price of your application, making it more likely that someone would download it. And then for those few people that do need that additional technology or that additional feature, that can be provided inside as an in-app purchase. So you can drive revenue that way and potentially increase your downloads. And then, of course, there's the usage. So your customers have downloaded your application and they're running it, but the question is, how much are they using it? And that's what the usage report shows. It shows for the average use per day of your application. And as with the other chart, it compares that with the average use of the top five applications in that subcategory. So you can compare the usage of your application to the usage of other applications in that same category. And as well, you'll see it will show version numbers so that you can see over time, I updated the version at this point in time, and you can see, did I get an uptick in user activity? So you can help correlate advances you're making in customers using your app with versions that you're providing. Next, let's look at the rating reports, because again, that's to help you understand what the customer satisfaction level is with your product, and quite frankly, what are they saying about it? Because that's truly what's happening. It's a public way for customers to express their opinions on your application. So as you look at these reports, you can distinguish them by market and see what the ratings and reviews are for those comments. One thing I'll mention is that the ratings is a star level. where they can indicate 1 through 5 stars, and reviews is where they can actually leave a text comment. The text comments are optional, so generally you'll see more of the ratings and fewer of the reviews, so there won't be necessarily be a one-to-one correspondence between the two because both aren't required. So on the rating report, you select the market that you want to see, you want to filter upon, and then the ratings, it's for the last 30 days. So this rating is moving along. Your application first comes out. You see the first 30 days worth of ratings for it. You see those comments coming in. Hey, I like the app, but it didn't have this feature, and so I can't use it. You kind of start to see a trend there. You know, you do some work. You have that feature in. And then you'll see as that 30-day window starts to move on, you'll see those comments start to drop off. And you'll see changes in your star ratings start to improve as you improve your application. So just to be really clear, we use that 30-day period to help move along, to help show advances that you make in your applications. Now, when a customer makes an update and provides a review on here, it can take up to 24 hours for that information to be reflected in this chart. And then again, at the bottom is the review section where they can actually enter text in to be able to describe their experience with your application. All right, so next is, how reliable is my application running? And that's what we find in the quality reports. And the quality reports let you evaluate your app quality. Now, this is the section, for this to function, two things need to occur. Number one, you need to have made sure the checkbox is on for your profile in the App Store for collecting telemetry. And number two, it's only going to work for those customers that have not disabled the collection of this type of data. And there's three areas that we track. If it's a JavaScript app, we specifically track JavaScript exceptions that may be occurring. Regardless of the language, we always track the crash rate. And then we all, regardless of the language, we also track to see if the app has become unresponsive, and if so, how often. So here's some heuristics that explain, that kick in, that we use when we collect this data. Number one, which I've already mentioned, is that telemetry must be enabled. Number two is we randomly select the machines that we're going to use. We don't run these reports on everybody that's running your app. It would be very difficult to do, to track that many machines for all the apps. So we create what we call a quality panel, which consists of, at a minimum, 500 machines. If, in your case, there are not 500 machines, we still collect telemetry, but we'll display a warning message saying, hey, you know, the number of machines this is being collected on is small, and so this may not be, you know, the data may not be as reliable as if you had a larger selection. The other thing, too, is that we have found in studies that these types of issues that we're tracking tend to happen in most cases within the first 15 minutes of active interaction with your application. So we don't necessarily track your app for the entire lifetime of someone having it up and have all this code running that's doing these statistical analysis. We found that if we do this within the first 15 minutes, that provides very reliable information. And then also there can be the occasional outliers that we pull out to prevent that from skewing the data. So with those heuristics in mind, first we look at the JavaScript exception rate. And this is provided as an average per computer, again, within that first 15 minutes. So generally, these numbers are small. They're below 1. If that number was at 1, that would mean that within the first 15 minutes of that person running your app, that computer fails. So every computer within the first 15 minutes is failing. If it's a 0.1 and 10 people ran your app, that means that within the first 15 minutes, only one failed. Assuming 10 people. So that number, you would definitely want to expect that to be below 1 and usually a relatively small number, because it is representing the average number of crashes for a single computer within the first 15 minutes. And then below that, and I'll touch on this in more detail, for JavaScript applications, for JavaScript exceptions, we store the top 15 unhandled exceptions. So as these exceptions occur, we track them. The top 15 we put in this report, and that allows you to look and see, okay, what are those exceptions that are happening so I can go in and make fixes. Okay, next is the crash rate. And again, this is average per computer during those first 15 minutes of usage. And as with the JavaScript exception rates, except for this applies to C# and C++ applications as well, we track the top five. So we track the top five crashes that are most prevalent. And again, I'll get into details of how to download those crash files so they can be analyzed and looked at to determine what's actually causing that failure. Now, in situations where crashing is preventing us from doing the necessary calculations, sometimes this report might come up with zeros, meaning the chart would say zero, meaning the average crash initial use is zero, because that can happen depending on when the crash is happening and whether or not it's allowing us to collect the right telemetry. But even in those cases, we will continue to store the crash dump so you can see what the top reasons for crashing are. And then the final area under quality is the app unresponsive rate. And so what we do there is when an app stops responding to user input, we record that as an unresponsive event, and that's tracked along with the currently active module inside the application when that event occurred. And so that the chart you see here displays this average rate per computer, but so that you can see, and at the bottom, it's showing it by release. So you can see in this example, there's three releases. So you can compare over time your application, and the other charts for that matter, we're showing each bar was showing your different releases. So you can see over time, are the releases that I'm updating, are they actually improving the JavaScript exception rate? Am I improving my crash rate and making it less, in effect making it better? And the same with my app unresponsive rate. And again, when those events are detected, we create a file. And so what I'd like to look at is how you can use this file to analyze and see where these problems are happening. So when you upload your your application to the App Store, one of the options you have for your package is to create an AppX upload package. And you want to do that because that will include just public symbols that allows us to collect much more detailed crash information so that we can give you better information. So as we can see in this example, there's a cab file. You click download on that file to get it downloaded. Then we have a utility called the Windows Debugger. And the Windows Debugger can be downloaded from MSDN. And in that file menu, it has an open crash dump menu item. You point that to the cab file you downloaded. You can then, in addition to the information contained in there, you can also point, using the symbol search path option, you can point it to the actual symbols that aren't public, but the ones that were created by Visual Studio when you built your app, so you can get much more detailed information, variable names, and that type of thing. You can specify that there. And then you can look and specifically see, it will tell you what line, the call stack, what method inside your code crashed, the line of code that crashed, and you'll see what the error was. For example, here I highlighted integer division by zero. Now, in the case of JavaScript exceptions, those exceptions are happening up in HTML, so the crash dump file is different. It's actually a text file that you can load up and see this same type of information, but it's specifically pointing at the JavaScript exception that executed in your code. For example, here at the top line, the error description, the function that was being called didn't exist, and that's what was causing that exception. So there was an object being referenced and a method was being called of it on it that wasn't defined. But again, you won't be able to get this for JavaScript if you don't specify the AppX upload option, because those symbols won't be available for this text file to be able to include the information that you would need to be able to get this level of detail. So the final area that I want to cover before handing over to Adobe is how you can use the trend reports option inside of the Windows Store to find new opportunities. So besides helping you understand how current apps are doing in the market, we also want to give you information to help you decide what type of app to build next. So to do that, we want you to understand, for example, what customer segment you may want to target, and the trend reports lets you do some of that exploration into the Windows Store as a whole to see how it's happening. So we let you see download trends by application category and demographics. So here are the options for doing that. You select Explore Store Trends. You select the app type, whether free or paid. Then you select the category, and then you select the subcategory. And when you do that, you will get the downloads for those criteria that you specified. And in addition to that, you can provide additional demographics that further filter that information, where you provide the country or region, the age or the gender. And this is really helpful because you may have found by looking at your download data that we looked at earlier, where you were trying to understand who your customers are, you may find that, wow, our application is really targeting males within this particular age bracket. You can go to Trend Reports, run a report to see what other categories really apply to that demographic that we're already reaching out to, and you may find a new application category that really applies to the same demographics that you're already reaching out to, and that may trigger some new thoughts in your mind about additional applications that you may want to develop. So it's a really neat thing to go into and explore and look at. So I'd really recommend that you take time to go through here and look. So what I just described is the analytics that you get for free without doing, you know, additional programming on your side to collect it. That information is collected in the Windows Store. Another option I wanted to point out, if you had a chance earlier to listen to the presentation where we discussed the Microsoft Media Platform Player Framework, or MMPPF, which is used for media playback, and it has some extension points for analytics. In addition to that, there are third-party options available. So with that, I wanted to hand the presentation off to Roger Woods from Adobe, and he's going to describe to you the analytic offerings that they provide that you can implement inside your Windows 8 Store application.
Thanks, Richard. Appreciate it. So I'm Roger Woods with Adobe. Some of you might not know that Adobe does analytics. You might think of Adobe in some other spaces in the digital field, but actually we're one of the world's leading analytics providers today for web and for apps. My name's Roger Woods, and I run the mobile strategy across the digital marketing suite. So I really appreciate that Microsoft is innovating this area. We hear a lot about apps, and all of us are probably using them on our devices. But apps is still pretty immature in a lot of ways. And the innovations that Richard has just shown you by providing more data to developers, is, I know it's going to help further the innovation and mature the marketplace more. So I just wanted to first start off, before I hand it over to Pete to show you guys from some developer point of views, just some trend reports that we've published. So in January, we published a report that looked at 16 billion transactions across retail. And why this is important is to understand what's happening with apps on tablets and also on the desktop, and why this move with Windows 8 is super exciting for apps and having that touch point on our devices across our device ecosystem and the user experience. So you can see conversion rates in retail from tablets pretty much mirror desktop, which is really important for app publishers, for you guys out building apps and engaging with users in this space. Another area to look at is average order value. So if you look at the average order value in retail on tablets for 2011, it was actually higher than on desktops, which is another key important metrics for businesses. If we take a step back, though, and look not just at retail, but look at the broad landscape of 85% of the Fortune 500 companies, tablet growth outpaced phone growth. So this is really important as well to understand that tablet share of traffic was 10x of smartphones. And this was particularly for websites, but it's also true with apps. And engagement rates on tablets are also extremely high and mirror desktops a lot. So the Surface tablet, Windows 8, and the store, having apps available across this ecosystem and what Microsoft is doing, I'm super excited about to see how the evolution plays out. I'm going to turn it over now to Pete Franson, and he's going to walk you through some of the stuff on our developer portal and our site to access some of our technologies, as well as how to implement and to QA your apps.
Thanks, Roger. So I'm Pete Franson. I'm the lead engineer for the mobile and touch group. We do a lot of the analytics and targeting SDKs that hopefully you will all be using. I'm going to give you a quick demo here of how easy it is to get this information into your applications and start using it. So right here you have the developer connection. You can access this by going to developer.omniture.com. And if you just search up in the corner or follow the big hero banner there, you can get through to all the SDKs for all the platforms, specifically the WinRT platform. So we have a little overview, get the download going and all that. If you have any questions or anything, feel free to leave a comment here. But let me show you how easy this is to implement. I have a little WinJS application I wrote here. It's just using the split demo. So I'm going to go ahead and run that. We just have a really simple store kind of app. So you can click through and view some of the different Adobe products here. Very simple. So, you know, in addition to all the great analytics that we can get through the App Store, let me show you some of the extra ones we can get. So when you download that SDK, you're going to get a zip file, and in there there's going to be a WinMD library, as well as a tracking helper. The tracking helper is provided for each language. We've got a C++, a C#, and a WinJS one. So in this project, I've already included a reference to the WinMD. And then over here, we've got the tracking helper. So the first thing you have to do is load up the tracking helper and just drop in your report suite and your tracking server. These are things you would get from Adobe, generally your account manager, or through the SiteCatalyst website. Then once that's in, we just need to add a couple lines. So here, we're going to just add our reference to the tracking helper to the default HTML page. And what that just did is that's going to give us all of the lifecycle metrics, which Roger's going to show you in just a second. Then we're going to jump over here. We're going to add a couple more tracking calls. So this one just tracks a page view within your application. So hey, you know, someone hit the main page every time that happens. We're going to fire an event off to the backend server that you can report on later. And then down here, we're going to add another one, which is going to fire an event every time someone selects one of those items on that main page. And then lastly, we're going to go over to that page where we have the different items listed. And we are going to find my cheat sheet here. All right. All right. So what I've done is implemented lifecycle tracking and full page view tracking for that app. So three or four lines of code. I'm also going to show you, this is a tool that we wrote for developers. This is Adobe Bloodhound. This allows you to debug your analytics in real time as you work on them. This helps a lot if there's some data that's coming through that you're not sure you want to collect, or if data's not coming through at the correct time. You just load this up and you'll see exactly what we get sent. And helps speed up the debugging process. So I'm going to go ahead and run that app in the simulator again. So if I flip over here, you can see this is that initial line we added, just including that JavaScript file and the HTML. And we've generated all this data. I know the font might be a little bit small. But right here, I mean, resolution of the device, device name, OS, OS version. We know that we just installed it. As well as, you know, hour of day and how many times the user has launched it, how many days they've been using it, all kinds of really interesting information. And then you'll also see here we got that main page hit that came from that tracking call on our main page. We can drop over here and just start browsing through. You're going to see as we generate that data, you can come back and see what we're generating. A few details. So we're adding actions and destinations into these key value pairs, which then you will be able to map and report on in the back end. So when I first got up here, Roger told me I needed to take 10 minutes, and I told him there was no way because it was too easy. So I'm going to go ahead and hand it back to him now.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks, Pete. So as you can see, I'll show you some of the rich data and different types of reports you can get with just a few lines of code. So basically, just downloading the SDK and implement it with a few lines of code, and you'll get some really rich data. So we report on a lot of things around usage, conversion, different types of metrics, engagement, how engaged are people with the app. I'll show you how you can start to create high-valued segments with that data. Information around app performance, so you get some crash data from the stores. We can also report on that type of data. Different technologies around screen size and that. Pathing through different screens in the app. How are people engaging and what paths are they taking in the app? And then also there's some custom events that you can send in pretty in an easy manner. I'll show that. So really, you know, some of the value here is to be able to look at your data all in one place across all your channels. So, you know, regardless of where the app is from, you know, a tablet versus a desktop machine, as far as running these apps, you can see all that together and start to segment different user behavior. So let's dive into some of the lifecycle reporting that Pete mentioned. So there's really a couple different areas. There's some essential data that you want as far as installs, launches, crashes, that type of data. There's an engagement set, so how engaged are the users? And then there's also a whole funnel of upgrades. So Richard talked about this a lot. As you release new versions, what happened to my user experience? So an example, this is a trended chart with number of active users on current versions. So a little different than the downloads by version. This is showing, if I release a new version, what's the uptake level? 50% of the users are on my new version, but I still have 50% hanging out on the old version. How can I incent them, or how can I get them to upgrade the app? So that shows you some different way of slicing and looking at the data. All of the data that we look at here, you can also segment and divide it up by device type, tablet, you know, desktop. You can slice it by other types of things, geography or other data as well. So you can mix and match this data and do a lot of different slices. Engagement. Two of the engagement metrics I mentioned, one was days since first use and days since last use. When you plot those two metrics in a scatter plot and start to understand how engaged are people and start to put them into buckets. So you got a set of new users, and you can look at their behavioral data versus the all-stars and start to understand, well, what types of data do I look at? What types of user interactions or experiences do I need to provide to move people from rookies to all-stars instead of sometimes them floating up to be bench warmers or cutlass, people that don't come back to the app or don't use it very frequently? You can also look at those buckets and understand, why are people bench warmers? Is it based on, are there certain devices popping up in that segment? Are there certain crashes that happen with those people more frequently than the others? Is there other geographies that are poor experiences? Is there different experiences on Wi-Fi versus a carrier network, that sometimes if they're on the carrier network a lot, they don't come back as much? Maybe there's some other performance issues that you need to look at. So a lot of good data as far as engagement and how they retain, basically about retention, and then use this data to optimize the experience in the next version of your app. Location data, as people use, this isn't just downloads, this is usage, where people, you know, using data the most. And you can look at this by average session length as well, so how long are people spending in my app, by geography or by device type. And then the whole set of different technology reports. So by devices, device type, manufacturer, OS, a lot of these things you can use to make development decisions as well, as far as what is the average screen resolution of that people are using my app on, and push that to your QA teams and say, here's really the important device form factors that you need to be QAing the app against. Connection type, so again, LAN versus Wi-Fi, carrier data. Here's an example of carrier data that would come through, and you can start to understand which carriers are important. Maybe from a development perspective, you're doing third-party relationships with the carriers or other things and want to understand how you can build partnerships with those high-value carriers for your apps. Okay, let's talk about some custom metrics, latitude and longitude. So this is an example of Vail Resorts. Since we're hitting the ski season coming up pretty quick, I thought this was a good example to use. Vail Resorts in their Epic app passes in latitude and longitude. So they can start to understand users that are on the mountain versus off the mountain. And with that data, then, they're optimizing the experience to present different information, whether it be days, weather reports, other types of social data and feeds with people on the mountain, versus people off the mountain in other parts of the country, try and entice them to book a resort or do book a trip or do other things with their app. So geo data, the point of a lot of this data is really to think about how can I personalize and optimize in real time the experience for the users. Some other custom things that you can do is build, you know, custom dashboards if there's specific KPIs that you guys have as developers or for the business to bubble up, you know, installs and crash rates, look at churn rate, which is really retention, and those types of things. You can surface this data either to the development organization, the product organization, or to the marketing organization on how effective, you know, if you monetize the app with ads, how effective is our ad click-through rate and those types of things. And then some different custom events. This one I put in API calls. You can, you know, trend over time specific custom events into your app for developers to help make decisions on usage patterns, data consumption, that type of thing. Okay, so I just wanted to wrap up and talk about the just a high-level strategy, because one of the things that, as Pete and I talk to a lot of clients, a lot of Fortune 500 companies, and also smaller development organizations or agencies that build apps, one of the things that they struggle with is typically the app's about to ship to the store, and that week they're like, oh, we need to put in analytics. And a lot of times that's a little late in the game. So I just advocate as developers to think about what types of things you want to capture, what types of data do you want to capture about your app, and think about that further up in the development cycle phases. So you can start to identify the interactions that you want to capture, whether that's touch gestures on certain parts that you want to capture, portrait versus landscape. You can send a lot of that stuff in as custom events and start to understand how that changes the experience for users. And then the other thing is then what you want to report on. So this is just kind of high-level mobile strategy. And the important thing with this is what this drives is your opportunities. So as you collect this data, you have a lot of opportunity for analysis to understand what devices and platforms, what the conversion funnel looks like, how people are really engaged with the app, and how they maintain that engagement. The other thing is really what you want to understand is what are my high value segments and how are those power users using the app and how can I increase the share, the size of that segment. And what that drives then is actionable conclusions for optimization. So you can optimize on geography, maybe you're doing some push notifications, and you can have different opportunities to optimize your app based on this data. So that's just a very simple high-level strategy, but I'd encourage the development organizations to be thinking about this, and because it's important to the business, and to take this forward and to think about it earlier in the development cycle. So I'm going to hand it back to Richard now. Thanks.
Thank you, Roger. So that concludes our talk on analytics. Some additional resources for you if you want to read more about this. We do have some blogs that describe in more detail Windows Store analytics. And in addition, remember that in the slide as well, Roger provided a link to their website where you can download and experiment using with their SDK as well. And then just general resources for the build in general is here. So again, I'd like to thank you all for listening to our talk. And we still have a few minutes remaining, so we'd like to open it up for some questions. If you have any questions, go ahead and raise your hand. The lights are a little bright, but I think I can, at least people in the front, I can make a, well, yeah, so go ahead. Why don't you stand up, ask your question, and then I'll go ahead and repeat it.
Yeah, the question has to do with the demographics, because the ranges you gave for some kind of applications aren't going to be particularly relevant. In other words, I've got 13 to 22-year-olds in one group, and I've got 22 to 4-year-olds in another. Do I have a way to change what the demographic ranges in some of those reports are?
Right. Now, so let me go back to that screen, and you'll see there the options for those ages are what's shown in that age chart. Let's just bring that up real quick. It was... right. Here's it. So yeah, so here age, less than 13, 13 through 21, 22 through 44. Yeah, so those aren't configurable. You have to select from that checkbox.
I'm going to suggest that 22 to 40 is a really big age range that not, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
dates
sure.
That are going to appeal, I'd much rather 13 to 18, 18 to 25 than break it up that way.
Right,
simply
okay.
Because,
right.
The appeal's going to be different.
Right, okay, I appreciate the feedback. Yes, yeah, on this side, and then I'll come over here. Yeah, yeah. Oh, and I'm sorry, I didn't quite, how with offline users?
Yeah, offline usage of the application.
Yeah, so.
It's not offline, the collection is made.
Yeah, that's correct. So if for the telemetry to be able to be transported back, that collection, it's cached over time, but if there is no online connection, then of course it can't be transmitted. But there is caching of that information, so it can still be. But I mean, if you're talking about, hey, they're just not online, then of course the telemetry information, and again, just to be clear, I'm talking about from a Windows Store standpoint, that isn't able to be sent back to our servers. The Windows Store information, of course, that's still being collected because that's consumers that are obviously online because they're interacting with our store.
Yeah. Let me just talk about that. I didn't address that or video tracking. There's a couple of different options that we didn't cover. But offline tracking is a configurable option. Just in the code, you would set offline tracking to true. And on the developer site in the documentation, you'll see right on the left-hand side offline tracking. It will tell you there's a couple things. You can configure the buffer size of how much data you want to store offline. When the device comes back online, that gets sent through. You can also configure the throttle delay of sending that information back through. So there's a couple different configurable things we're looking at in the future to be able to batch some of those hits and send them in when the device comes back online. But offline tracking is definitely an option there. And just also on video tracking, if you have different video, we do have some information there on video tracking with just line of code. You get plays, starts, video name, pauses, time, incremental times of milestones through the video viewed. So there's a number of things there as well in the out-of-box tracking.
And then we had someone over here. Yeah, go ahead.
So if you use the Adobe stuff, how does that affect the privacy policy that you have to give? Do you guys have sample language that you have to add? Because from what I understand, we're supposed to tell everything.
Yeah, for...
Right, and go ahead and repeat the question.
For Adobe, so the question is, if you use the Adobe third-party tracking, how does that affect the privacy policy? And the privacy policy you're speaking to specifically is Microsoft's App Store privacy policy. What I'll mention is because from our standpoint, when you work with Adobe, you own the data. So we don't do anything with the data. We don't anonymize it. We don't share it. We don't distribute it. We don't do anything in any particular matter. Some of those high-level metrics that you saw about the retail, that's about as generic as we get out to the industry. So really... If you talk to Adobe's legal, our viewpoint is we're not really a third-party analytics provider. We're really a first-party analytics provider because you own the data. So that's really, there's been, you know, that's our standpoint and our legal perspective with that.
So. Let me add something real quick there. In the upcoming months, we're going to be releasing a version that will allow you to withhold hits based on a response to language that you would provide to the user as far as them being able to opt in or opt out. And so we'll be holding that information and not sending anything until they've given that A-OK. And then at that point, we'll either completely kill the data based on a negative response, or we'll go ahead and send it on.
All right, any further questions? Yes, right over here.
With Microsoft Store, you mentioned that for the ratings, there was a window. I think you said it was 3 months.
30 days.
Sorry, 30 days. Does that window apply to the ratings themselves, or just our view of them, or both?
Right, so his question is, that 30-day window, that applies, it's to both. That's your view of that data. It goes away. So
bad ratings that you get,
they fall off.
30 days ago go away.
That's correct. And your averages are recomputed.
So real quick, a comment from our perspective on that. We're doing a lot of partnerships in different areas. One of the things that we're going to be doing is pulling in that ratings, rankings, downloads, that data into our platform so that you can start to look at downloads next to engagement, right? And start to understand, if I run a campaign to drive downloads, how many people are actually launching the app over time? So that data can also funnel into our system and you can retain that for a longer period of time. So Look to that integration. We should have an announcement on that in first quarter App Store data integration. So.
All right. Yeah, go ahead.
Can you speak to the pricing model of the Adobe Onature solution? What variations are available there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Repeat the question.
So the question was about the pricing model. Speak to the pricing model. The pricing model today for Adobe Analytics is priced on a volume base. So how much data you send in, that's what it's priced on. And it's priced in cost per million of data transactions sent in. In the future, in 2013, we'll be doing a few different pricing, kind of tiered options and some different stuff. So look for some advancements in that area in 2013. But currently today, that's the level.
All right, more questions.
There's one way in the back.
Okay, yeah, oh yeah, way in the back.
With regard to the analytics and metrics collected by the store about the app, is that available in a raw form or additional offline correlation and mining?
Right, so the question is, the data from the store, is that available in an offline format that it can be? Currently, it is not. So there is not a download feature. The only exception to that, which I didn't cover in this presentation, is we do have financial information that also shows the income from your app and that type of thing. That data is downloadable, but the data that we showed here at the current time anyway is not downloadable. All right, any more questions? Yeah, in the very back. Yes, right.
And I was just thinking that it would be really nice if there were some options to either change what it's being compared to, like to the top one, or to just the average for the category, as opposed to only being able to see it compared to the top five.
Sure. Right. So just making the observation, it would be nice to, a nice feature to have would be able to change how many apps you're actually comparing to when you're comparing the download of your app to the of the top five in that same category. So if you had the ability to specify maybe apps overall in that category just to be able to provide some additional information. Yeah, so thanks for that feedback.
Just a note on that. I'm excited that Microsoft is doing that. In the app ecosystem, a lot of other areas, you have to pay for that data from third parties that aggregate it. So that's pretty exciting that they're giving you that rich data and trying to help you be successful in the category. So I'm excited about it. But it's great feedback, and there's more that they can tweak there, but that's a great start.
One thing I'll mention about the downloads is, we call it downloads. Actually, it's like license acquisitions. So if you have a customer that gets that application for the first time, they're issued a license that's counted as a download. If for some reason they have to come back and get a download again, because they already have a license, we don't recount that download. And in that same respect, if you provide an update and that customer receives that update, because they already have a license, they're not receiving a license as part of that process. So that's not counted as a download either. So it tries to keep that truly unique individual downloads, because it is a per license type counting. Okay, so right here, go ahead.
So if that's the case with the license thing, can I tell if certain users have installed it on three different machines? Is that possible to tell, or?
Right, no. Because your application outside of the store could do things to attempt to track customers,
right.
but depending on how they configure accounts and do that kinds of thing, they could easily set up three different machines with three different accounts, and unless the application was asking the customer for a Microsoft ID or something and using that to track the user, you won't be able to do that. Okay, another question. Yeah, in the middle. A trial experience that has like a timeout value?
Or a timeout or a number of days, or even so you can keep playing until they purchase the full license.
Right. So, so if I understand your question correctly, you're saying, okay, the user has to register to access the store, and I think what you're saying is, you know, we obviously don't want users creating multiple accounts, and when if you have a timeout value, you know, we do track that. When we talked about in-app purchases, for example, in-app purchases can have an expiration date on them. You can say this in-app purchase, it costs $2, and whatever it is you obtain is good for 30 days or 90 days or forever for that particular license. When that expires, that goes away for that customer. Now, if they have, you know, if they generated some other account with another ID and they go to the store and download that app, they wanted that feature, they'd have to buy it again, and when they did, they'd get that period of time with it again. You know, that's an edge case. You know, I think generally, you know, the average user probably isn't going to put that much effort into it, but... yeah, first I'll go way in the very back over there, and then we'll come over here.
So we've put a couple apps in the store, both built with C# and Xamarin, and we've had quite a few downloads, over 1,000 on one, probably a couple thousand on the other. We've enabled the ability to get crash reports or analytics, so we get some feedback on whether the app's crash, information on that. We haven't gotten any reports thus far, and I'm wondering if there's something we're just missing.
Did you... On the package that you uploaded, did you include the Apex upload package type?
Is there something else that has to be enabled on the, like, within the store? Or
not for that specific thing. So I'll tell you what, when we dismiss here, why don't you come down and chat with me for a minute, and we can discuss that a bit further.
It should be working.
Right. I mean, you know, users can turn off that type of data collection, right? So you need to have telemetry turned on. So check to make sure you have telemetry turned on. And again, users can turn off that type of data collection. But with the quantities that you're talking about, it would really surprise me that, you know, everybody's done that. So afterwards, why don't you come in and chat with me for a second, and we see what we can do to maybe get you some more information that would help out. Okay, so over here we had another question. Go ahead. So you're saying if they uninstall the app and then go ahead and reinstall again? I mean, we don't track uninstalls, okay. I guess what I'm saying. So yeah, there's not a stat. So the question was, if someone uninstalls that, do we know? And no, at this point in time. Yeah, in the far right back, yes. Okay, if I heard you correctly, you said, is there a reason why it's just the top five in the reporting?
On my reports, the top five line is gone. It's just...
Oh, okay, so, well, you know, I think the answer to your question is, so you're saying the top five line is gone. In situations where we don't feel we can provide that information in a way that's going to protect the identity of other applications, we won't show it. So I think in the situation, I'm not sure what your category is and the number of apps in that category and the amount of data that we're able to collect, but it hasn't reached a point yet where we feel that we can collect that and show it in a way that's going to protect the privacy of the other applications in that category. So that generally would be the reason for why you're not seeing that average. All right, any other questions? All right, hey, I really appreciate you taking the time to come in and listen to this topic. Good luck on your Windows 8, Windows RT application development, and look forward to having an opportunity to talk to you in the future.
Thank you.